Let's go ahead and turn, please, to John chapter 4. This is where we're going to begin, kind of where we left off last week. I do want to, I'll save that. Gospel of John chapter 4. This is the record, again, of Jesus Christ speaking with the Samaritan woman. And it's really remarkable, you know, what he says here. She was concerned about where worship took place. And his response is that, woman, verse 21, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is coming, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Rather than there being a place to worship, rather than all of the, you know, things involved with the worship of God, whether it be lineage, whether it be all these other things, none of that matters. What's coming is a true worship. It's a true relationship. Right? To worship in spirit. And it is by way of spirit that we have that relationship with God. So, now I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at a few familiar scriptures here. And what we're going to see is that with that life of God, with that spirit of God, everything changes. Everything changes. In Matthew chapter 4, and this is fairly early in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We, the past few weeks, have spent time looking at the Gospel of John when he was in Judea. Well, this is right after that. And he comes into Galilee. And in Matthew chapter 4, I'll start in verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people, and look at this, just get this picture. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And then from that time forth, he began to preach. That's something. But that picture that's drawn, them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, that is a beautiful illustration of the state of man. You know, man isn't lost because of what he does. He's lost because of who he is. And it was Jesus Christ that paid the price for that, going from darkness to light. This is new. This is something different. This makes us different. I want you to turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. There we go. Let's start in verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." That's all mankind. That covers everybody. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear or reverence of God before their eyes." Then I want to jump down here. That's quite a mind picture, huh? Down to verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. All sat in darkness. All mankind sat in that region of the shadow of death. Without God and without hope. And then Jesus Christ springs on the scene. And it's man's only out. There is no other way. There's no other way. Jesus Christ is it. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened," or "you," it should read, "and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in time past, in the lusts or the cravings of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." That's what we were born into. Without God, without hope. But, verse 4, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon," it should read, "good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now these are really, really familiar verses to all of us here. These are things that we're aware of. But when this really starts to dawn, when it really begins to impact the heart, it issues in a genuine thankfulness. It issues in genuine reverence for God and for our Lord Jesus Christ. It really issues in a turning from the world, from the things of this world, which we're going to look at in a moment, and the desires or the cravings of the flesh. And it's a turning to God. It's a turning to our Lord Jesus Christ. When I really, you know, when this really hits me, what I've been saved from, where I was going. And when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we received the life of God. And it gives us the ability to walk by Spirit. It gives us the ability to do things by grace for God. Prior to that, we couldn't do anything. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. Or I'm sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge or the acknowledgement of God and of Jesus our Lord. And this word acknowledgement, again, is that, and I've shared this with you before, it's that Greek word epigenosis. And it's a thorough knowledge. It's a knowledge to the end where it has an impact on the knower. It's like, whoa! And it changes. It changes the way you are. It changes the way you think. That's what this is, that knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? That grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Then, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay? Life and godliness. Godliness is the result. It is the way one lives, the way one conducts himself, when that acknowledgement of who God is, what God has done, and it's by way of Spirit and by way of his word. And it changes a person. It really does. It really does. When it's really, you know, when that thing impacts the heart, it changes the way I view things. It changes the way I think about things. It changes my perspective. It changes how I look at people. When this stuff really impacts the heart, we should be different. We're different than the world. Where the world complains. Right? You know, the world gets angry. The world is unforgiving. And we'll see a little bit more about these things in a minute. But those things are of the world. That's the way of the world. We have a spirit nature. We have, well, verse 4, chapter 1, right where we were. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the what? The divine nature. That's the nature of God. Okay? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or fleshly cravings. Okay? The world deceives. Everything about the world is deception. 1 John declares to love not the world. He who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that term for world, it's not referring to, you know, blue sky and there are things that are pleasant and things, but it's the ways of the world. The world, it says, lies in wickedness. The adversary is the god of this world. And what the world is all about is that fulfilling the lust of the eyes, right? Lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And all of that is deception. It never satisfies, because the flesh is never satisfied. Never. And it's, you know, it results in tragedy in people's lives if they don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Because it's that Spirit of God that begins to put things in perspective. And you start to see this world for what it is. You know, we're in the world, but we're not what?
Of the world.
That's right. We're different. As sons of the living God, we're different. As those who have spirit, we're different. And it's by way of spirit that we can be different. We can love. We can truly love. We now have the ability, because of spirit and because of the word of God, to get our eyes off ourselves. Isn't that something? You know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what we have. And in walking by that Spirit, we grow. We grow. We grow up in Christ. We become more Christ-like as we do this. And, you know, I often pray that I will represent my Lord well. Because that's who we belong to. And that's how we want to carry ourselves. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You know, in Peter, we read where we have escaped that lust of the world. We are not of the world any longer. But when that acknowledgement takes place, when the heart, you know, begins to really see and understand these things, we make that escape evident to those around us. And, you know, many times it'll be manifested by, you know, somebody will say, something about you. You know, that kind of thing. You know, because there's just a joy there. There's a peace there. There's an assurance there. And those things come from God. They come from the Spirit of God. See? So be different. Romans chapter 6. This is such a great section. We're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Okay, so we share fully is what that means. We share fully. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It really is kind of a neat illustration that's being drawn here. The word that's translated planted, it's to be united with, okay? But the picture that's being drawn here, it's pretty cool. It's like planting a seed. And that seed gets buried. And unless that seed dies, it doesn't what? It doesn't produce life. Isn't that something? We've been planted together with him. And we are going to live with him. It's such a beautiful illustration. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we're not enslaved to sin, for he that is dead is freed from the sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God. And it should read, in Jesus Christ. Our Lord's not in any critical Greek text. So it's, we are alive unto God in Jesus Christ. The reality is that we died with him. That's the reality. That's true. What this verse is saying is, that's how you think. I don't think this to make it true. I think it because it's true. You see? And that's when I can then begin to manifest what is true. That I am a new creation in Christ. Okay. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh or according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now it's going to kind of define that here. For they that are after or according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Okay? All there is, that's all there is. That's the only thing there is to satisfy. So it's going to be a life driven by, you know, those desires, the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, the flesh, the pride of life, you know, whatever that looks like with different people, but it'll never satisfy. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, or since it is the Spirit of God dwell in you. So, isn't that beautiful? That carnal man, absolutely limited to flesh. You and I, we have the characteristic, the nature of God. We've got the Spirit of God born within. You know, and it's called a number of things. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the mind of Christ. Pretty wild. That life of God that's in us. See? And we learn to more and more, the more this impacts the heart, more and more we rely on the Spirit of God. rather than our senses. It's pretty awesome. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, then we're going to close it out with just a couple more things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse 15. It says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You know, you think about this. To live for oneself, that life is going to be based on how you feel. It's going to be based on what you perceive, you know, your needs to be. It's going to look like whatever you think it's going to require or take to meet that, whatever it is. But what we're reading here is that we live unto who? Unto him. We live unto him because he died. So my love for you is not reciprocating for your love for me. My love for you issues from reverence for my Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not finicky. It's not conditional. Same thing in a marriage. And it specifically says that in Ephesians 5. That love is issues from a reverence for Jesus Christ. Right? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Then it's just one of my favorite verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born us again, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. And that inheritance waits for us. So that is our destiny. In the meantime, we continue to grow in Christ. Our participation with God the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, began the day we were born again in that relationship. Isn't that beautiful? And where it's going to end is we're going to know God and we're going to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And for all eternity, he is going to display his grace to us in his kindness. It's pretty amazing. See, so that's the God we want to represent. That's the God we do represent. That's the God we want to represent faithfully. Right? But we're not going to do it by our senses, so don't even try. Right? But it really issues from these things impacting the heart. So it's going to involve spending a little time in the Word. It's going to spend a little time in prayer. You know, and God will show these things. It's really cool. He wants us to do this, by the way. He's more than willing to help us. Pretty amazing. Let's go to 1 John. We'll close there. 1 John chapter 3. And it says, behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and it should read, and we are. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children or the sons of God. And it does not yet appear, it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, every man that has this hope in him purifies, separates himself, even as he is pure. We were separated by way of spirit. We are separated. We're sanctified. Spiritually, we're clean as a vessel by the work of Jesus Christ. So all of these things are true. But when we build that hope and that hope, that sure hope, that steadfast hope, becomes what it is we look at. It becomes our yearning, and it has that kind of impact on the heart. I'm going to put up with less from the world the more I grow in this. And that's that word, pure. It's unmixed. See? It just gets to where you just don't put up with it anymore. You know, you just not going to do it. So I build the Word. So I continue to grow. And I get better at this. And I get better and better and better. And when I fall short, which I'm going to do, right? We're all going to fall short. I condemn myself, right? No. No, I'm dead. It's already dead. What, are you going to pile on by condemning it? No, but I've got the life of God in me. See, and I just continue to walk. I continue to do it. I continue to go to my Father. I continue to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and you hit bumps in the road. Different things come up in life. You just stay put. And it gets to where there really is nowhere else to go. There's just nowhere to go. And it's such a joy. It's just a joy. I was on the phone.